What's going on, everybody? We're up late. You're up late. Let's talk college baseball. We've got a loaded slate joined by Quentin, Smitty, and Nikki. Thanks for staying up late, boys. We've got too good of a slate, though. We could probably talk about it all night. We'll get right into it. Front and center, Florida, Tennessee. You can stay on that side of the window. Smitty, I think we could probably sit this one out. We could either just let them duke it out or talk about all the stats and everything else, but probably the top series on the board this week. How excited are you guys to actually see, one, Florida, can they overcome their injuries? And Tennessee, like, who have they beaten? Can they beat another caliber opponent? We'll see. Q, I'll let you start as the away team.
Listen, we're going to Knoxville. I just hope everybody has a good time. We get out of there with maybe one win. I'll say this. I do think they can hit Doyle probably the best that Doyle's seen this year to date. I think it's a big game for Liam Peterson. Like, is he mentally prepared to take on the SEC? Last year, one run, and he would derail. He had a good showing against Miami when he gave up a wild pitch run, and he bounced back. So this will be the ultimate test. Florida's starting to lose some guys on the in the bullpen. That's not good. So they're going to need Liam Peterson and Aiden King on Friday and Saturday to go pretty deep. I do think if Florida can find a way to get five innings out of Peterson and only give up five or less runs, I think they have a shot to stay in it late in the game. It's really going to depend on him.
Nick? Yeah. I kind of agree. I think if Florida, I obviously am going to pick Tennessee to win the series. I think being at home helps, like, neutral wise, like, especially this early in the season, kind of things change. But I think the difference here is, like, you can honestly say it's health. Like maybe if Florida's at full strength, especially like from their starting rotation standpoint, it might be a little bit more equal. Where this opened at, like, Tennessee minus 315 was shocking to me. Like, this should be, like, I was obviously ready to play Tennessee at some standpoint, like, even in a parlay, but at that number, like, it's not even parlayable, like, for me, at least. Like, that number is way too high in a game that should be pretty low scoring because of Peterson and Doyle, and it could end up being a toss-up and, like, which team hits a three-run home run in the seventh inning or something like that. I think it's just too much of a toss-up to lay that much. But I think from a Florida standpoint, I think they need to get game one or game two. I don't think they want to go down 2-0 and have to rely on Sunday just because of the health of their arms. As we mentioned, I think Tennessee's way more healthy. And if you can throw, like, with what Tennessee has on the mound, like, ready to throw out there on Sundays, and Florida will have to use their main bullpen guys, whether it's behind Peterson or whoever, early in the weekend. I think Florida's going to need to steal either Friday or Saturday. Otherwise, I think they're in danger of getting swept. But I think it's 2-1, personally.
So, interestingly enough, the two final teams that were undefeated were Florida State, Tennessee, both of them. Florida State got napped by Florida in the midweek. Congratulations, Q. Can y'all do it again? Do you think Florida gets swept?
No, I don't. I think they're too good, and it's so hard to sweep in the SEC.
Yeah.
There's a difference between, and I'll say this ironically because of last season, but there's a difference between Tennessee playing Missouri and Tennessee playing Florida. It's just so tough. I mean, the athletes, the talent, everything is so much, you know, higher on that playing field. It's tough. I think whoever wins Friday will win the series, personally.
I was very surprised to see our site have Tennessee. I even texted Q because I put it in, I guess, Tuesday or Wednesday. And I said, what are your thoughts on this? Because I would back Florida probably at a plus 200 price. And Q said, honestly, it won't surprise me if Tennessee wins game one 9-4. I mean, I know that seems really high scoring, especially on a Friday night ace versus ace type atmosphere. But the more I've seen it and then see the lines come out, Tennessee just a heavy favorite. And I can't make heads or tails of it yet. Strength of schedule, 131 to 124. There's not really a whole lot of discrepancy in the stats. I mean, they're ranked 1 and 2 in Sierra, 17 and 2 in the starting pitching. Why? Why? Is Tennessee just really that good, Nick? I know you've oohed and all season.
Yeah, but I really do think the difference is it just looks like it. Florida still looks like a team that's going to be like maybe like halfway through the season is going to be a top five team in the country from what they look like. I think they need to get healthy. Like not having Cade Kirkland, I think like some of their like what Q, who's that guy who's been there for three Evans, like the right player, Ty Evans. He's kind of slumping right now. Like he's hitting like 200. I think like once like Kirkland is back, I think when Evans gets it going, I think kind of those guys like maybe like once they're in like midseason form, like this is a top five matchup. I think Tennessee though is just playing like it's May. Like I don't know why. Like I have no explanation for it. It's just like a Tony Vitello type of thing. Like I can't explain it.
Vitello doesn't even know. He even said it.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where it's just like they're just clicking right now, and it's just like yes, like it's hard to say like. It's hard to like not back Tennessee right now, especially like Doyle's been the best pitcher in the country. And I don't think that can be like looking at all the stats, like it's hard to debate that. And so it's one of those, like, yeah, it's just tough to go against them right now.
Liam versus Liam. And then Liam, there's a lot of Liams going on. Liam says, I think Florida gets to Phillips on Saturday. What are your thoughts on that?
Nobody has yet. Like he's more talented Kumar Rocker. Like I said this on, I think I said this 2 weeks ago on Jeff's show that we do. He's like, so, okay, here's a stat. And I saw this was from D1 Baseball where they said like any, like the amount of pitchers that are thrown after the fifth inning, he leads the country in pitches over 97 miles an hour. And it's like, nobody's close. It was literally like Marcus Phillips and then a giant gap. And then I'm trying to think. I can't remember, like, who was second of, like, pitches that are thrown over 97 miles an hour after, like, the fifth inning. So it's just one of those where it's, like, it hangs on. He's a giant guy. Like, when you see him in person, he's huge, should be playing defensive end. I think Phillips, that's what – I don't think Phillips is the one you get to. I think Phillips, if you do, he's only expected to go four or five because of Tanner Franklin on the back end. The way they're doing it now is going to be Nate Snead after. Like, now that they're moving Nate Snead from the starting – like from being a starter, that means he's backing up a guy on either Friday or Saturday. So it's like, okay, you go from 97, 98, and then it's like, all right, we'll put our second guy in and he's going to be 98 to 100. So it's like, good luck either way. So if one guy's off, somebody can still back him up. So Phillips, I don't think is the one you get to. I honestly think Florida needs Friday. I'm not going to lie.
All right, let's move on. Staying in the SEC, we've got Kentucky and Georgia. Guys, know you let us know last year about Kentucky. Are we buying them? Are we not? Kentucky's sitting at 13-2. They're pretty talented. They're taking on a Georgia team that absolutely rakes. They're number one in weighted runs created at a whopping 200, 100% more than average. Nick McKay has been pretty good though. 0.42 ERA, 17th ranked in the country. Charlie Goldstein, I feel like he's been at Georgia for 10 years. Georgia's pitching is what's always kind of been their bugaboo. They can always hit, but can they pitch? I feel like this is going to be a true test. And oddly enough, the Kentucky Wildcats are favored, slight favorite here in this one. But what do you guys make of this matchup?
I'll keep it short. I think Georgia at home is the difference maker. I think Kentucky not having the power bat, Matt, we've said it for two straight seasons now. You know, when you play SEC ball and Omaha ball, they get beat because they can't put the ball over the fence and they can't get three runs back with, you know, one swing of the bat. And that's what hurts them this year. I mean, they pretty much brand new team, you know, obviously pitching as well, but if you can only manufacture a few runs and then you face a Georgia team that's got, you know, three, four, five dudes that are probably going to hit 10 plus home runs, like that matters a lot. It's going to be rowdy. Like Georgia baseball is on the up and up. The fan base is, you know, fully bought into to Wes Johnson. And I think Georgia's had some scares this season. They've gotten lucky. And I think this is going to be kind of a, okay, now we're in the SEC. Let's wake up. Let's, you know, let's play Georgia Bulldog baseball. And I think Kentucky being on the road, it's going to suck for them.
Smitty, let's go to you.
Yeah, you know, last year, Kentucky's one of my teams. I like how they play. I like how they play small ball. I'm a small ball kind of guy here a little bit, but I like Georgia in this. You know, I think if you look over everything here, they have a great record at home. I think they've won like 14 straight at home. I think just the offense will do it. You know, I know you said about the pitching. That is sometimes the issue with Georgia, but I think the offense is going to be a little much. And again, at home, I think that's going to be a key. I think Georgia, especially tomorrow, I like Georgia tomorrow.
Nick?
Yeah, I hate the way Kentucky plays. Personally, I hate their little, like, the antics in the dugout. And kind of just like, it just seems like Little League type stuff. But so that's just like
Tennessee-esque.
You know, it's like a weird, like, personal. No, Tennessee, like, Tennessee would have shoved it down your throat. And like Kentucky plays those weird, like, stack your hats up and like, I don't know, like the weird, like they have like stuffed animals in there, like, and stuff. Like, I don't know, but just getting on a rant. Anyways, like, to get
to to cut Nick off, but hey, Kentucky fans, I love you. I love you.
I don't. I'll be the Kentucky hero on the show. That's perfectly fine. I don't, this is a stay away series for me. Like, I don't trust either one of these teams right now. Like, this, both of these teams are, like in prove it to me mode right now. Like, Georgia's only lost one game this year, yes, but like Q said, like, they've been kind of like flirting with danger almost like every other game you look at. They've given up, like, their bullpen's given up like 7 runs or 9 runs and stuff. Like, if you do that in the SEC, that's gonna get you beat. So like, we'll see. Like, yeah, Charlie Goldstein, great arm, very dependable. Like, he's not one of those gonna get lit up, but he's also not gonna, usually not gonna like shut a team out. So it's one of those kind of in-between. So this is a stay away from me. I could see this going in so many different directions. And where kind of the number's at, this is just one of those wait and sees. I probably won't touch this series all weekend.
All right. Let's move on to the
next. I should have wore the Kentucky shirt tonight, man.
You should have.
Next show. Hey, I do have one on tonight. Vanderbilt, man, home field advantage.
Andy boys.
Can I just do a little quick commercial? Man, it is worse. Late, but I am still comfortable because I have my home field apparel t-shirt on, and man, I can go to bed at any second because this is so comfortable. Vanderbilt, let's go. Okay, go ahead, Matt.
All right. Well, speaking of Vanderbilt, that was the next on the list. Vandy taking on Auburn. I'm really high on Sam Dutton. I think he's been pretty phenomenal. J.D. Thompson's not too bad himself. You look at that Sierra, he's got the benefit over Samuel Dutton. But it's Auburn. I think they're the better team. I've said it for a few years now. I think the era of how Tim Corbin recruits and plays baseball is not sustainable for success down the road. Now the whole NIL thing, and he had his run. I feel like Vanderbilt's always like a placeholder of being in the top 15, top 20 in the preseason, but they don't really hit for a lot of power. Their pitching has kind of fallen off since the days of Jack Leiter and Kumar Rocker. I will fade Vandy until they prove to me that they can win a series, especially a big one on the road where they're facing a better hitting team. Anybody want to refute that?
No, I don't think they won a single series on the road last season, and until they do, it's kind of prove it to me. Similar pitching staff. So like J.D. Thompson was there last year. So like you said, until they can actually do it, and unfortunately they're going on the road where place is having a really fun season to date. I mean, they're mashing the ball. Obviously, they're not going to have Ike Irish, but you have other guys there that are just smoking the ball. And Derek Fabian and others are having a lot of fun right now. And that's tough to play against. Like, there's stats, there's home field advantage, and then there's guys playing, you know, extremely fun and exciting baseball. And that's very hard to go up against. So until Vandy proves it on the road, I think you have to fade them, you know, universally until they show you what they can do.
Nick?
Yeah, this is boring, but it's another stay away for me. I don't trust either one of these teams yet. Like, we mentioned kind of like the road woes. J.D. Thompson, though, is somebody that I'm very high on, especially coming into the season. Like, it doesn't matter if he's pitching for Vandy or Texas or if he was pitching for Mizzou, there's a good chance, like, there'd be some money there. So it's one of those where it's like, yes, they're on the road. Auburn is like such a – they're so offensive heavy. Like, even though Sam Dutton has been great, it's one of those where it's like, if they can't hit off of J.D. Thompson, then they're going to struggle. We saw what, like, Old Dominion, they gave up, what, 13 to, like, Old Dominion. I think, like, they gave up, like, 27 in the series, like, a 3-game series overall. And Old Dominion, like, don't get me wrong, that's no joke. Like, they're good in the Sun Belt, but that's not an SEC team. And Vandy, for all that, like we've said, the offensively, they played the best pre-conference, like, schedule in the country, like, out of all the SEC teams. I think they're somewhere, like, in the 30s, strength of schedule-wise. So, well, I'll give it to them for that. But, yeah, this is another one where it's – these are two teams – I've said it, like, the entire preseason, too. So it's not like this is something new. But it's like, yeah, prove it to me, Corbin, that you're going to change your offense. Because outside of a couple guys, you can't really live and die by the single bunt them over, sack fly stuff anymore.
So both teams 14-3. Vandy, they lost to UConn, lost to USC, beat UCLA, and beat UC Irvine 9-8. Auburn, their best win, 8-7 win over Oregon State. They also beat Baylor, who's kind of been playing hot, 7-4. Yep. But they lost to Old Dominion and UAB and a game to Holy Cross.
They don't.
Yeah, both teams. Yeah, both teams are coming in 8-2 last 10. So, you know,
pretty good too.
Vandy's five game winning streak.
Arts either.
Yeah, five game winning streak for Vandy. I think the big thing in this, you know, again, here's another team that I like. They kind of play small ball. I know. I like this. Maybe I'm the different. I'm the weirdo on this. On the video here tonight, but that's okay. Yeah. I've been called a lot worse, so I could care less. But here's the thing: Big Bat's out, Irish is out.
This is the Michigan football fan wanting.
Yeah, exactly. I like boring.
Three runs and punt, baby.
I like boring stuff. Win 3-1 here. You know, my card's not out yet. I have some leans in the notebook tonight. This is one I'm going to go a little different with the guys. I think that's a major bat that's out. And, hey, I wrote, you know, on the preview guide with Auburn. I like Auburn. I think they have a great hitting team. I like the pitcher tomorrow night for Vandy. I think this one's going to be tight. I'm kind of leaning Vandy, no official play yet. They'll probably be out in the morning, but let's go Vandy.
All right, so the next one, Alabama A&M. This one also kind of surprised me here. Ryan Prager versus Zane Adams. That should be a really good pitching matchup. Alabama favored on the road. We have seen A&M not have the best start. As SEC Unfiltered chimes in, what's going on? Thank you for joining.
What's up?
Appreciate it.
This is going to be a really exciting series. I don't really feel that confident about betting it. I am going to be on Alabama in game one, but I feel like A&M probably still gets the series, and it's hard to bet against Prager, but I really like what Bama's doing right now. Second in the country in weighted runs created. They're going to be able to smash, even if they have a successful outing by Prager. I don't know about the bullpen on the back end, if they're going to be able to keep the Bama bats at bay. Q, what do you think?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I'm hoping DraftKings hangs like an 11.5 line because I think this is an under. I think this is like a 5-2 game, 5-3 game. I think Prager is going to try to pitch around, you know, the main guy there, Justin LeBron. And outside of that, I think their lineup is manageable. I mean, he's had so many big moments where he's hit multiple home runs in games already. He's got almost 50 RBIs. Like, take him out of the game. And I think the best way to do that is in 2016, the Cubs walked Bryce Harper every at-bat for the series. And it sucks, but, like, you kind of have to approach it with a guy that's got 50 RBIs and you know, 15 games or whatever. This is A&M is giving me last year's Florida vibes, like, on paper, so talented, not panning out early in the season. And then somehow Florida beats Texas A&M in one of the early season SEC weekends that nobody saw coming. And I have that same feeling about this. I think Bama's good. I think Bama's on the rise. But I just think this is kind of where A&M wakes up and says, hey, we're struggling, but we're still pretty good. And this is the high point of the roller coaster.
Nick?
Yeah, I thought I was going to be different here and thinking A&M's going to win this series. I think this is one of those where it's like maybe this team, kind of like Florida last year, where it's like once the lights come on and like once SEC play like is in full force and then like the talent kind of takes over. Like maybe it's just like they kind of slept walk. Like it's tough to get beat in a national championship series. Like as close, they were so close, like literally run away. And then all of a sudden asked to turn it back on and just be perfect. Like they've been expected to be like don't lose the entire season almost. But it's just one of those things. Like, I like A&M tomorrow. My actually best bet of the series is probably going to be hoping A&M wins tomorrow, and then I'd rather back Riley quick for Bama tomorrow. It's kind of what I'm hoping for. Like, if I think it's what Bama's like plus 124 today.
Yeah, you're saying for Saturday.
Yeah, so for tomorrow. Yes, yeah, so they're like 124 for tomorrow. So like my hope is like A&M wins tomorrow, and then I can get Riley quick, like maybe at plus 140-ish, 150-ish on Saturday. That's probably going to be my favorite bet of the weekend if we get him like at that number.
We're having a rubber match for sure in this series.
I think so too. Because it should be against, Justin Lampkin.
Yeah. I think Miles Patton wins game three.
I agree.
I'll Texas A&M regardless. Patton's been really good.
That's the biggest mismatch is definitely Sunday.
I like A&M in this tomorrow night. I think this is a good spot. I think what Nick said too. I think it's a team that's been sleepwalking a little bit, and you know, big key bat out of there with an injury. And I think when the lights come on in the SEC, I think this team's going to wake up. I think Q said a good thing too. Another one last year was Florida. You know, Florida had so much talent, and then they would struggle like midweek, and then they struggled a little bit and they got it all together. I think it's another team that's going to do that. I just think too, you know, I know they beat Prairie View. I think we could maybe probably get a softball team together and like, you know, let's get some drinks on us and play Prairie View. Nothing against them, but I mean, they beat them 14-0. I think they finally wake up a little bit. I think this is a really good series. Like you said, Matt, Bama's a good team that's really coming on, 9-1 last 10, 2-0 on the road so far. So again, you know, this is key. I think what I've written down, guys, is some of these atmospheres are going to be crazy. And this is one of those spots that some of these teams, I know they've been on the road, but it maybe just not that atmosphere, what it's going to be here tomorrow night in some of these SEC battles. I think the crowd's going to be crazy. So I like A&M, especially tomorrow.
Do you think A&M fans have lost faith yet?
No.
No, I think they're giving it to SEC weekend to kind of see. Now, if they go out and they get just obliterated all weekend, then I think you could absolutely see some of that. But they're going to stick it out through the weekend for sure.
All right, let's go to Oxford and talk Arkansas Ole Miss. Zach Root getting the Friday night slot. I said it a couple times. I felt like that was eventually going to be the play. And hats off to Q for wanting to draft him over Gackle in our fantasy league. But Root versus Hunter Elliott, I think it's going to be appointment viewing for this battle on the mound. Arkansas really impressing me, hitting the ball really well. But can they do it against solid pitching? Hunter Elliott, 309 Sierra. Zach Root, 117. I think this could probably be lower scoring. Arkansas with a slight edge. I did play a minus 115. I'm curious to get y'all's thoughts on this, though.
Under. I think Zach Root's going to shut Ole Miss's offense down. And I think you can say the same about Hunter Elliott. Again, and we've joked about it, but I say it in all seriousness. If you take the two Aloy guys off, you know, Arkansas, their weight of runs created probably tanks by 40%. And Diggs has had a hit.
About Brent Iredale, though. He's like really.
Yeah, good. I mean, that's what I was getting at. Like, Iredale's starting to come on, but then, like, Diggs is kind of hit or miss. He'll hit a double, and then he goes ghost. Like, If you can get through those two guys, then you can absolutely beat Arkansas or keep it close. And I think that's the key that Hunter Elliott needs to focus on. And I think it seems outside of, you know, when I took him last week, into last year, was the under on Friday nights for Arkansas was like 12-3. I mean, you attribute that to great pitching. Hey.
Yeah.
Hagen. I was going to say that. Yeah, Hagen Smith helps.
And shit, I'm even drawing a blank. It was before Hagen. And I think you have the same trend here with Zach Root. I mean, the guy's throwing lights out.
Yeah, I'm on Arkansas as well. I played them already at minus 115 on the money line. The thing I'm interested to hear, though, like, obviously Hunter Elliott, we know what he's going to bring, just being consistent. I want to see Zach Root in the SEC. Like, we've seen him his whole career. He was absolutely dominant at ECU. And look, like, it obviously got beat by Evansville. My boys, Wes Carroll, kind of took care of him. But this is one of those where it's like, okay, this is big boy baseball now. It's like he was pitching the American, like, pitched extremely well for ECU, and now it's SEC time. And his preseason, his last four starts, haven't been against SEC caliber teams. So now it's like, okay, is he really going to be a Friday night SEC guy, or is he going to be just an above average type of pitcher? I think this weekend says a lot. I think next weekend for Arkansas says a lot. And Zachary, especially moving them up to Fridays, like, that's putting a lot of pressure on a guy. Because he wasn't even ECU's Friday guy last year. Like, he's had Trey Savage in front of him for 2 years. So now, like, there's a lot more pressure where it's like, I can't give up three or four runs or we might lose. So that's kind of what I'm interested in looking for this weekend, seeing how he really takes over that Friday role.
Bats have been good, Matt. But again, you look at competition. So, I mean, hopefully it can keep going because they got the pitching staff. No, I think they got the right guy pitching Friday night now. But I think Nick just made a good point. It is a step up. You know, both teams are playing well. I think a 12-game home streak for Ole Miss. I think they're coming off a loss midweek here to Southern Alabama.
Cost me money.
Lean right now, I kind of agree. I kind of like Arkansas on this with the lean. I think Q made a good point. I think it's a lower scoring game too. So let's see what that number comes out.
Yeah, it is a big step up in competition. I mean, we saw in Arlington, they played some decent teams, but
low scoring.
You've got a 10-game homestand and you average 11 runs per game, most of those being seventh inning walk-offs. I mean, yeah, we'll see. But if you ask some Razorback fans, Cahill Loy's already fallen off because he's 0-7 in his last 3 games or something.
Get bad 600 all season.
It's unreal. Okay, let's go. Texas. It's still weird to me seeing Texas and Oklahoma in the SEC.
Yeah, it's baseball. Weird.
I really like Pico Cone. And Jared Spencer, I got to watch him live in Vegas. He's fine. He's fine. He's good. Like, I mean, he's not – I wouldn't say he's a top 5 arm in the SEC. Friday night guy, maybe 7.
I'd probably agree with that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's too early to tell. Like, he hasn't been – like, what's he giving up, like, 3 hits all year? It's one of those where it's like, this is his first time starting. So it's like, let's see. Yeah. But like, domination wise, like, it's hard to say that he hasn't been, outside of like a couple, the most dominant so far.
But I mean, that's where I like to out look at XFIP and Sierra. Because you look, I mean, yeah, the 0.86 ERA looks good, but 2.54 Sierra. Meanwhile, Pico is the opposite. He's got the higher ERA, way lower Sierra. So, looking at just stuff, I think Pico probably has the advantage. Any word on Hunter Hines? Is he still out for Mississippi State?
So he's not even injured. It was actually just the coach's decision.
Yeah, he got benched.
He just got benched. It was coach's decision. It was just one of those. I don't know if it was like a mental. They just wanted to give him like a week off, or if it was if this is going to be a permanent. Like, hey, you're just not hitting well enough. So I'm not sure what's going on there, but there is no injury. It's just the coach's decision whether he plays or not.
Yeah.
What are y'all doing here? I mean, I honestly think whoever wins game one wins the series. I've got to give the slight edge to Mississippi State, kind of like the website says.
I mean, they're going to have that place. It's going to be a rowdy environment. It's a stay away for me. I do think the line is probably accurate. I think they're very balanced teams in that aspect. I don't think either team is more dominant than the other. I think if you're a true baseball fan, this is one you want to sit back, you know, with a Miller latte and truly enjoy it, because I think you're going to get a good showing. And if you did pick either side, like, I think you're well within your reason to justify it. I don't think, like, if Nick took Texas and Matt took Mississippi State, like, either one of them would be crazy, because I think you could point to data points or even gut feelings to why you think either side will win. And you'd probably look at me and I'd be like, yeah, you got a good point. So, this is big for Mississippi State. I think bigger more so for them, because they've kind of struggled the past few years. ever since their national title. So I think this is a bigger series for them to really kind of kickstart the SEC this year and start things on a high note and you know, get back to Mississippi State Bulldog baseball. And we'll see. But Texas should be tough.
Texas, a lot of neutral games so far, but really this is their first on the road. And like I said earlier, you know, atmospheres, these places are just unbelievable in the SEC. Home field advantage.
Yeah, it's a fun one.
We talk a lot about that in football, but I mean, in these games too. For baseball.
It's definitely a home field advantage in baseball.
Yeah, it's one of those where it's like, yeah, Texas, it's like, hey, welcome to the SEC. It's like, if there's very few places that could have been, like you talk about Mississippi State, LSU, like Tennessee recently, Florida's been, Arkansas, obviously in the hog pen. It's like, there's very few places where they could have sent Texas in week. Yeah. Texas in week in one where it's like, hey, here's your real
probably the best ballpark in the country. Yeah,
here's your real introduction to the SEC. Here's going to be 10,000 rowdy fans.
Cowbells.
Enjoy. Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how Jared Spencer handles that coming from Indiana State. I want to throw in real quick the website, 68.5% since March 8th with an average run margin difference of 4.1. So almost 69% that it's hitting just on straight up winners. Mississippi State minus 105. That's the line on DraftKings. I'm on Mississippi State. So I'll go ahead and get that one out of the way. But Smitty, you got anything else to wrap this one up?
No, nothing for me. But again, I would lean Mississippi State, and I do like the Texas program. I really do, but I think this is just—it's tough to go on the road.
Liam said it's supposed to rain Saturday night. Starkville get a doubleheader.
Seems like a lot of the SEC kind of is going to be like
that's going to be something to watch too. I always feel like when it's a doubleheader in SEC play,
split.
It's always split, I swear. Yeah. I would be curious to go back and look at the records on that. But I feel like it's always a split.
Yeah.
Javante said, thoughts on Duke, Stanford, and UAB, Middle Tennessee. We'll get to those in just a few minutes. We got two more left on the card. I have too much of an ADHD brain to – to try to hop off and forget where I'm at. All right, UTSA versus Dallas Baptist. I don't have pitchers pulled up for this one yet. Y'all may can help me out. DBU minus 159, but the freaking Roadrunners
post yet for them.
The Roadrunners are playing some awesome baseball right now.
Dallas Baptist, big midweek comeback win. I mean, they're never out of a game, and I think that's what makes them scary. It's great baseball environment. It's hard to fade Dallas Baptist at home. It really is.
13 in a row, 13-0 at home.
Yeah.
Streak going right now.
Yeah. This is what I'm looking at as a parlay piece. I know I need to, like, I'm waiting for pitchers. Dallas Baptist has done this thing. So James Elwinger is their best arm. But they've been throwing him on Saturdays all year. So I kind of want to see if that's just their plan, if they're going to stick with that the whole season. Because he's one that I'm like most – like that's why I didn't bet them last week at all against Louisiana and then play them Saturday because I knew he was pitching Saturday and they won. So it's a weird – like I don't know. I wouldn't call it weird. He obviously knows what he's doing. So it's just a wait and see like who the pitchers get named. UTSA has obviously been a surprise. I know they're in our top eight and like when you combine the Sierra and the OPS Plus and stuff. So it's like they've very overachieved so far. So it's nobody I'm looking to like not back. But DBU, I have them in going to Omaha. So it's like one of my teams where it's like I think they're just so good.
Shortens a little bit. Zach Royce is pitching for UTSA. I just looked it up. So if it is James Elwinger in his normal spot. I mean,
no, I think he's Saturday. That's what Elwinger did on Saturday, yeah.
So who do you think it'll be?
It would probably be Trey Jenkins. It'd be possible, yeah.
I agree, Nick. I think this is a good money line parlay piece.
Flipped it to UTSA.
That can't be.
I mean, look at Jenkins.
I know. Hold on. Let me see who they threw last Friday.
He's getting hit by everybody.
Because like last week Louisiana beat him. Like it was bottom of the ninth, like walk off. So it shouldn't have been on the starter.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Micah Buttonham.
Oh, they announced?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It's in the game notes. Okay.
That's better.
But still, both guys sub three. Sierra. Yeah, it's hard to fade DBU in that spot.
Yeah. And also, as good as these pitchers have been, like, I hate to take an under at that place. Like, it's one of those where it's like you don't know when Dallas Baptist is one of those teams just going to erupt for like seven any innings.
Well, flies in that part, too.
It really does. Like, I remember when we played there, like, it was like that was one of the more fun places to take batting practice because it looks like the fence is tall. Like, it's literally like a 12-foot fence. And it looks tall and like it looks far, but then you hit a ball and it just like keeps going. It's just one of those places.
It's Dallas Bombers.
Yeah.
All right. Getting into the next one, we've got Louisville hosting North Carolina.
It's an interesting one.
Yeah. Yeah. I had to put it on here one because we didn't have any other ACC games.
Louisville's playing really well. Obviously, they last lost Gavin Keelan to Tennessee. They struggled the last 2 years, which is kind of unusual for Louisville. And then you got UNC, looked probably one of the most dominant teams until last weekend. And for all intents and purposes, Stanford flew cross country and just manhandled them. I'm curious to see how North Carolina responds. I think I saw they had to push the game up. It's like a 3 p.m. start, and it's going to be a doubleheader on
doubleheader,
Friday.
Yep.
So that'll be interesting. If I had to pick, I didn't have a line on this game. I don't know if you guys did, but I probably would take UNC because I think they're in a great bounce back spot. I don't think DeCaro gets ranked two straight games. I think he's still one of the best pitchers in college baseball. So I would at least take them game one and kind of feel things out from there.
Nick?
Yeah, same. I think it is tough because, yeah, Louisville's playing so good. And, like, they were one of those where it's like, are they going to be kind of middle back half of the ACC this year?
No.
But that's when we were expecting, the top half of the ACC to just be dominant. And now you look at what, like, we look at, like, what NC State's done, what Duke has done, like, Virginia's done. It's like, hey, Louisville, all of a sudden, it's like you could be a top three team. Sure. And I think this is one of those that's going to, like, make a statement, especially being at home. Like, this is a series that could matter towards the end of the year. It should be either like Forbes, I'd assume. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is one where it's interesting and they'd beat some good team. Like who'd they end up run ruling in Arlington? Cause it was somebody like, I think I had a bet on and all of a sudden like it just got our Arizona. Yeah. Arizona. Cause yeah. Bailey threw and he threw well. Then all of a sudden they put in their bullpen and just all hell broke loose. So yeah, Louisville's good, but I think North Carolina has a little bit more kind of on their plate. I think they answer just after getting beat twice last week against Stanford. I think they know like, hey, this is, we can't lose two series in a row to start the year. So I would back North Carolina here, but yeah, like you said, I don't have a line in any of the books that I've seen.
Which is
weird. Oh, just a doubleheader. Okay.
I mean, I got to think that
there'd be a doubleheader Friday.
Like 195, maybe 210. Where I feel like
it'll be that high. Patrick Forbes has a negative.
Patrick score. Forbes have been awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, and, 0-4.
Him and Detmers both are like have been ridiculous.
I like UNC just because the same thing. I think it's a spot that after last week, after what Stanford came cross country and what they did there, taking two games out of them. I like a bounce back here. I think DeCaro just not going to get rocked two starts in a row. I think tomorrow would be a good spot. Game one. I mean, we'll see where the pitcher. I mean, if they change doubleheader, it did get changed. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to see a lot of that. I think that's something like you guys said. We got to keep an eye on because Nick, you said that earlier in the week with some of the conditions and everything. Maybe if some of the games get moved up or a little bit here, so keep an eye on that.
Javante said Duke, Stanford. Duke has been absolutely terrible.
Our site loves Duke, and I, for the life of me, I don't understand why.
Stanford. Because we keep betting them. Yeah. I keep betting them too.
Stanford, versus... to me, they proved a lot coming across country. Like, I mean, they were winning their games in Palo Alto, but it was against weird competition, and then for them to come over here. and do what they did to North Carolina.
They can hit. That
doesn't make sense to me. Why Duke would be favored.
The question is, do they keep Kyle Johnson on Friday? Like, he's been bad, man.
Oh, yeah,
and then, yeah, he's been bad. And then, like, they put him in the – like, he's been playing the outfield Saturdays and Sundays. So it's like, yeah, hey, maybe let's switch something up, and he ends up throwing, like, plays the outfield Friday, Saturday, and pitches on Sunday because he has struggled. Like, it would – like, last weekend was uncompetitive. Like, it wasn't even, like, competitive at all. It was like walk, walk, bomb. Double.
Well, that was the like, the group text of Q. That game started like 3 minutes, and Q's like, they're already down 4-0.
Yeah,
like, what
it was, and he's been like that all season. So I want them to switch it up, but
I think our state's got this one wrong.
I think so too. I think Stanford's just flat out better team.
I do too.
Yeah,
I
think you can.
I'll tell you what. I don't know what the line's going to be with the over under, but if he pitches again, I keep an eye maybe on the over in that game.
Stanford right now is -180.
I mean, I think that's a single play, personally. They're that good, in my opinion, against Duke. I would have no issues laying the 180.
I don't see any.
I mean, I can't imagine who Duke would throw. I mean, maybe Higgins. Healy's been
obviously Healy's not healthy guy, but I don't think Healy's healthy enough to where they're trying to
put on either, a weekend, because he's a weekend guy throwing midweeks.
Yeah, and he's throwing like 20-30 pitches. I don't think they want to push.
They don't have anybody else.
No, they really don't.
And Matt Scott's
Weaver maybe.
Scott's been there since back in like the Quinn Matthews days.
Yeah.
He came in and put in a lot of good innings in that regional or super regional. So I think Matt Scott probably back Stanford in game one, depending on who Duke pitches.
And Sunday. I'm telling you guys, I don't know if you guys watched Joey Volsko on
Sunday. Yeah, I was about to do anything. Up too.
He was one I texted you guys about like before the game, and that's why I didn't play North Carolina on Sunday, because I was like, dude, this guy is insane if you guys haven't seen him yet. And then he was sitting like 96, 98, like hitting 99, and it was like, holy crap. And he's one of those that should be a Friday guy, but he's just – it's one of those where it's like Scott's just – like Matt said, Scott's just been there so long that he's kind of just – it's kind of like Drew Beam last year for Tennessee. It's like you have that spot. Like just – you're consistent. Just keep it. But he's the more like talented arm, and he will be a first rounder. Like so that's kind of the difference. And him on Sundays against Duke having, like we said, the lack of arms Duke has right now, like, yeah, sign me up for that line on Sunday.
It is crazy Sasaki still has
– yeah. Seriously,
they showed him hitting bombs like in BP, and he just
doubles off the wall. He's hitting doubles off the wall. Like all, he doesn't hit it high enough. He just hits line drives.
Next up for Javonte, we've got UAB Middle Tennessee.
Yeah, I got nothing on that one.
Well, I have -150. They're -166 on DraftKings.
I mean, I know Bama just played them, and it was tight. I think it was 6-3.
UAB is good. They also did the same thing for I think it was against Auburn as well. Like Auburn, I think they beat somebody in the midweek. Is it Auburn or Bama? But yeah, this is one of those where this is a sneaky team.
Landon Birch.
Hey, I got nothing on this, but you can tell him that I did play UAB Conference USA winner in basketball. So let's get
there. You go. Love it, Smitty.
Wow.
Oh, you got to throw a little flyer on there. Let's go, Blazers. Let's go.
Look at that. Only -166 and that pitching matchup.
Yeah. I don't even know if I have. I don't even think I have that one. Oh, yeah, I do. -166.
Yeah.
Okay, that I might play that. I'm going to look at it for, like, deeper tonight.
Yeah, let's that's right there. Let's jump on that.
Monte's on to something.
Let's go. Hey, I like this guy.
Oh man. Let's go. Good looking. I'll have to dig a little bit deeper, but that's
I gotta write that one down before I forget about that.
Smitty's
on the schedule.
never stops, boys. You always take one with you.
Notebook wagering right there.
If you ever try to read it, writes something, circles it, crosses it.
Oh, I do. I just circled it. UAB circled.
Yeah.
Matt, you want to pull up Oklahoma, South Carolina? That was one. This is one of mine. I think this line is way off, personally.
It's not going to be Matthew Becker.
Correct. Becker's not throwing all weekend, which was
that's kind a of big loss for
yeah, who is which it? Is one of the highlights. They're throwing Brandon
Stone.
Yeah, Stone. Yeah.
Versus Kasem Witherspoon.
Correct. And yeah. I know that that's what I said. Our site is, and I even sent that to our group. I was like, our site is way off here. Like, I get what it says, but yeah. I played Oklahoma, I think, -120. I think this line is just off. Like, Oklahoma's that much better, even on a neutral. And I think especially once you remove Matthew Becker, like, this starting pitching matchup is not even close. It is close. It's not close to equal.
Yeah. Here's one. Is Georgia Tech just a perfect parlay piece? I mean,
I thought it.
Mason Patel, too. Like, Pitt's not that great.
Well, Patel also threw out of the bullpen last weekend against Virginia Tech. So I don't even know what. So I don't know what they're doing. Starting wise,
fire offensively.
They are
at home.
But yeah, I don't know. Like, Georgia Tech seems like one of those teams this year where it's like, am I just going to bet them like 30 minutes before game time once they finally say like who's pitching? Or it's like,
yeah, they're like North Carolina. They just want an out.
Yeah. It's like, let me see if the wind is blowing out 30 miles an hour and I'll just take an over in Atlanta. Like, yeah. Is it just going to be like one of those?
No, you're right.
Cause I don't know who, Patel, like, cause Patel's the one that game that went, I think it went 11 innings. I think Saturday game against Virginia Tech. And he threw like the last five or six of that game. So he came out of the bullpen. So that was because he's a Knoxville kid, and was like, and now he's at Georgia Tech.
This is another one I just pulled up because I saw UNCW's only -130, and I felt like that was way short for Charlotte. And the side agrees. I mean, we saw Charlotte.
Yeah, Charlotte played pretty decent against Arkansas. Good.
Yeah.
Who'd they beat first weekend was also they. They upset somebody. Like they sweep or take two out of three from
Campbell.
It maybe, but now like I don't think it was Campbell because Campbell turned out not to be great. I want to say I thought it was somebody like, coming from like somebody from the north that was pretty.
Another one I was looking at was Troy.
I can't remember.
The Seahawks beat Georgia.
The Troy, Louisiana. Troy obviously on the road, but only -130 seems pretty.
That's another one, though. Like, so that's one, like, yes, Q, I'm with you there. But it's another pitching one. Like, where's Chase Morgan been? And it's is this where, like, because they haven't announced it yet either. So this is one where it's like, yes, if Chase Morgan's not throwing, I guess Herman has been okay. And Herman's been there. Like, that's another one where it feels like he's been there for 4 or 5 years already.
Yeah.
So it's like, yes, if Morgan is not throwing again on this Friday, like, I do think Troy probably is the play, especially that short. Because that home field advantage that we've seen hasn't been, like, fantastic.
And a great offense, too.
Yeah.
Zane Taylor, I don't know who Charlotte's Friday night guy.
Let me see if I have it. Gillespie.
Changes things a lot closer to the actual line. But I still, Zane Taylor looked so freaking good. 156 Sierra. I'll probably back Seahawks -130.
We're getting into the pick 'em tonight.
Yeah, getting into the pick 'em. Shout out to Ron Burgundy, Charlotte guy coming off a 9-inning shutout.
James Madison's not terrible. Like they're always talented.
That's I guess the Friday guy is that Blake Gillespie.
Yeah.
Before we get into the pick'em, just home field apparel insiders 10% off anything. Smitty's wearing them. It's good little segue in there. Sponsored the pick'em sponsored by home field apparel.
Just write that down. Insiders 10. We're now Chinook Cedary, the best seeds in the game. Insiders 10, 10% off all of your orders. Go buy some sunflower seeds. I'm beginning to think now that I've gone through 90% of all the flavors, you can't really pick a wrong one.
That's what I'm excited for. I saw like two of them that I was like very excited for. Like the cinnamon
ranch, the best.
Jalapeno ranch, obviously, is like, that's one I know is going to be good.
That's what I ate.
But there was like, it was like cinnamon toast. I think was one where I'm just like, what is like cinnamon toast
it's a
seeds?
Different. It's yeah. Different.
I'm like, I'll give it a shot. And then the Parmesan garlic, like, yes.
So good.
Please.
Javante said Baylor, Kansas.
I
forget to talk about my little
Q said this earlier. Under.
Yeah, I think it's an under. Calder and Vogel.
And they're supposed to be weather there too. Supposed to be very windy, cold.
They just hung 29. There's gonna be some aggression.
Calder versus Dominic.
They're not playing in the Homer Dome, baby. They're not in Minnesota.
Take the under against Kansas, who just put up what, 40 runs?
The ball was flying like a flock of geese.
That's a PlayStation game there the other day. Jeez.
Yeah. That was
five straight too.
I've never seen
I've
never seen that.
If this is 13.5, I hope it's 13.5.
Yeah, Baylor's pitching's been really good this year.
Especially Calder. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We just did that one.
Marty did that one.
Yep. But yeah, if this is 13.5, 1,000% I'll be on the under in this one.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into the SEC pick 'em. Alabama, Texas A&M. I already shared with you my thoughts. I think Alabama, game one, Zane Adams. I just don't believe in A&M yet. If they're going to win game one, may not win the series, though. So I'm going to go Texas A&M 2-1.
Yeah, A&M 2-1.
This is boring. Like I said, I thought I was going to be different on this one. I think it's 2-1 A&M.
It's the first matchup.
I think Riley Quick gets – I think Riley Quick wins it Saturday.
2-1 Texas A&M.
Nick, we noticed last year the first few weeks, like, it was kind of square, and then we started getting real different opinions as
– Oh, no, it was just more, like, inside my head. Yeah. Like, I thought you guys were going to be, like, on Bama.
I was licking his lips all day.
And just, like, mentally, I was like, okay, I'm going to be – like,
but
I think Noah.
What's up?
Well, yeah, it's not normal, Noah. I don't like this treatment they put me under tonight.
Seriously.
Southern Miss, an easy one. Right, last one, he says. Hang on.
I didn't get a line for Southern Miss, so.
Can I just say
I got a math observation tomorrow, so if I flop, I'm going to say because it's a slate show.
Yeah.
Will the TV end put on basketball?
We better get more sponsors because if I get canned tomorrow, because it's not good.
I've got Southern Miss minus 345 against Old Dominion plus 250. This could be another under. This could be another underplay. It's a stay away, but probably another under possibility. Like these Southern Miss games at home, like all season, have been very low scoring. Like even against UNCW,
Middleton, God throws lights out.
UNCW is a pretty offensive team too, as well. And like last weekend, every game was 5-4, 6-5. So pretty low scoring. I think even Old Dominion, even with what they did against Auburn, like I said, I don't trust this Auburn pitching staff and bullpen. So this is probably another underlook, but I don't know. Sidewise, that 345, I don't even think it's parlayable. I think that's just like that number is kind of nuts.
All right, back to the SEC pick 'em. Kentucky at Georgia. I'm going Georgia 2-1.
Yeah, I'm going Georgia 2-1. I think Kentucky gets maybe Sunday.
Yeah, tough to win a series on the road. Only reason. Yeah. So I'll go. If this was at Kentucky, I'd flip it. But it's at Georgia, so I'll go 2-1.
Man, this is boring. 2-1, Georgia.
Arkansas at Ole Miss. I'm going to go. Maybe Riley Maddox first Gackle. Arkansas 2-1.
Come on, guys. I mean, we're gonna say the same thing over.
You know what?
I'm gonna go Arkansas 2-1.
3-0 Arkansas for me.
Yeah.
I know it's on Arkansas the road, but I think Gackle gets it.
I wanted to say opposite, but I couldn't. I just can't see it in realistic life.
Arkansas. Yeah, I'm low on Ole Miss. Yeah, Arkansas for real.
I will say last year during this, anytime that I picked Arkansas 2-1 and somebody else picked them to sweep, they would sweep.
That's a good sign.
Okay, Missouri at LSU, a barn burner. Can we just all say LSU sweep?
Yeah. Can we also can we just relegate them already? Like, come on.
I'd rather see Southern Miss. Let's just get another Mississippi team in there. I mean,
Vandy at Auburn.
I like Auburn 2-1.
I like Vandy 2-1. I like Vandy 2-1.
Vandy 2-1.
Vandy 2-1.
All right. Now we're getting somewhere.
There we go. So we're 2-2 there.
Sorry. Somebody else feel free to step in and say the next one.
Mississippi State, Texas. I'll go Mississippi State 2-1.
I will flip that and I will go Texas 2-1. I think I haven't bet it yet, but I really do think Texas wins tomorrow. So I'm going Texas 2-1.
I'm going Mississippi State 2-1. No, no.
Hey.
Mississippi State with the sweep.
Oh. Woo. Hey,
Culper's lost his job already.
True. 2-1. 2-1 Mississippi State.
All right. I'm on my own. I like it.
What did you do? 2-1 Texas?
2-1 Texas.
I'll go 2-1 Florida just to be different.
Oh, you're a brave man.
Brave man. 2-1 Florida. I got to. Nick's got to pick Tennessee. I got to pick Florida for the show.
Yeah. And
what are you doing, Nick?
Nick's going Tennessee sweep.
Yeah, I really am. And I think it's not even just like for the sake of the show. I actually do think they sweep them. And I think, like I said during when we did our little preview thing, I think if this was a month from now, I think it would be different. But I think right now, I think in the state the two teams are in, like health-wise, I think, especially if Tennessee wins tomorrow, I think Tennessee sweeps them. Under 6.5. That's way too high.
Yeah.
That means they win a game per series? No shot.
I'm going to say Tennessee 2-1. I don't think they're unbeaten come Monday.
I'm going to go with Nick. I just think some injuries, and I like this Florida team, but I think it's losing. What's that?
I said you like losing.
I know, baby. I'm a winner. Jeez, look at me. I'm a winner. No, 3-0. 3-0 Tennessee. I just think it's a tough spot for Florida. I like their team, but I think it's a tough spot.
Realistic. 3-0.
And I will have boots on the ground. Bought my ticket today, so I will be in the stadium. I will see if I can do a chicken tender review, and like so we can keep that going. But, yes, I will be there tomorrow night. Weather's supposed to be perfect.
Oklahoma, South Carolina.
I think Oklahoma can sweep. I'm going to go Oklahoma sweep because I really like their three pitchers.
Ron would be crushed.
Ron?
Sorry, Ron.
Sorry.
You had the idea to do this.
Yeah, Burgundy.
You said you're going to get swept.
I actually agree. I have Oklahoma here as a sweep. I think the two Witherspoons, and then you look at like, what Cameron
both,
Johnson.
Both of them are throwing great.
And what Cameron Johnson's done so far, like, he was the number one recruit out of high school pitching-wise at LSU and just didn't click. And now, like, it looks like it's clicking. Like, whatever Oklahoma was doing for him, he's throwing strikes. And I think if that's your – like, what they've been flipping up Malachi and him on Saturdays and Sundays. So I don't think either way that's good news for South Carolina. And South Carolina outside of Petrie is just I don't know. I can't trust them. They're struggling. I say struggling. They've lost like two games. So it's like, but that's the SEC. That's the SEC world we SEC world we live in. Yeah.
Manny, what are you doing?
2-1. 2-1 Oklahoma.
Yeah, Yeah, that's where I was leaning. I think Dylan Eskew could win game three. Yeah, give me 2-1 OU. I wanted to try to convince myself to take South Carolina. I thought Smitty may have been thinking about it, but it is what it is.
No, I agree. I think the pitching staff's just fantastic.
They're a real threat.
Seriously. What a loaded slate. Loaded slate.
This is gonna be every slate this year in the SEC. Like, there's not gonna be a weekend where it's like, oh, this weekend kind of stinks. It's like, no. It's just gonna be every single weekend in day in and day out.
All 500 of y'all basically staying up late watching. We appreciate y'all being here. Let's cash some tickets this weekend. If you haven't already, go subscribe to the clubhouse. Join the club. Everybody's doing it. Cash some tickets this weekend. Cheers, boys.